de que se pica. Omoga, omoga. We eat to yogo ata. Nires kai korani motora. Saptobos, rudis, goros, mata. Omoga, yo ata. Karis mojerota. Omoga.
Gore gore pole, mojan ravon zaina, sobi. गीत गायन तू बोला मनान मजा तू रिगला कितले चेडे लव यू मुंटा कोणाची परवा तू करीना एकटेच तू दुसरे नाका उतर दी रावता तुका बेताय तू फाटल्या नासा मात्शे बळोन पोय माका हे माका रेन्ना तुझे वसले सोबीत चेडुना गारशे दोळले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना हे माका रेन्ना तुझे वसले सोबीत चेडुना गारशे दोळले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना चिडुन्ना गर्शे तोडले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना हे माका रेन्ना तुझे वसले सोबीत चिडुन्ना गर्शे तोडले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना काळीज तुका चाशेता लागी यो पयस तू वेता आय लव यू म्हणोन तुका गोपान मोजा विंगयता मोजा सारको मेवचो ना काळजांतान तुजो मुख जी येतेले तुका मोजी बास्तिता हे माका रेन्ना तुझे वसले सोबीत चिडुन्ना गारशे दोळले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना हे माका रेन्ना तुझे वसले सोबीत चिडुन्ना गारशे दोळले गोरे गोरे पोल्ले मौजान रावूंक जायना
Tried Everest Coffee? Roasted right here in Auckland, Everest Coffee use the highest quality Arabica AA coffee beans, giving you an elite blend of taste and strength. Treat yourself to the Wonder Coffee Bean. Enjoy Everest Coffee. It's for the discerning coffee palate. Everest Coffee. It's coffee at its peak. Available now at New World or buy online at everestcoffee.co.nz.
नमस्कार आणि स्वागत करता हा रिची तुमका आयच्या सुशेगात दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रामार म्हजो आयचो गेस्ट रेक्स ब्रगेन्झा युनिटेक कॅम्पसांत इल्लो घुसपडलो इल्लो लेट झालो ताका देखून आम्ही तुमकां इल्ली सड गायना प्ले केली सो वेलकम टू अ प्रोग्राम सुशेगात दनपार रेक्स नायस टू हॅव यू हियर आय कॅन सी दॅट यू आर स्टील ट्राईंग टू यु नो have your meals
thanks Richard
yeah Rex can you tell our listeners something about yourself who you are what type of a profession you are in and what you were originally qualified for and what you are doing today
yeah sure so basically I'm in the health and fitness industry and I'm a competitive New Zealand fitness model and a competitive physique athlete and I as a full-time job I help transform people's bodies so that's what I do on a day-to-day basis help people get healthier fitter mm-hmm. stronger and feel good inside and out
so what is this you said physical athlete or what is this a new term that I'm hearing what is physical athlete?
Yeah so physique athletes
nowadays, physique athlete yeah, sorry
now, nowadays sorry. You have many different categories in what we would originally termed bodybuilding and so bodybuilding essentially it is bodybuilding but the term physique athlete is basically referred to as somebody who's a little bit more of an athletic look so it's just a different look that they're sort of going for now so uh-huh. they have different categories so you've got the bodybuilders who are obviously the big boys
yeah
and then you've got the classic physique athletes who are basically athletes who emulate the 80s, the bodybuilders of the 80s, such as Arnold Schwarzenegger, where they had a very classical look to them,
yeah.
almost like a Greek god look, you could say. And then you have the men's physique athletes, who are essentially they look for more a, you could almost say a cover boy look, more like a very aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
So who do you place in that category? Is that some example?
An example would be, let's see, from an actor or something like that.
Anybody. So, you know, you can visualize as to
sure. I would say somebody with the build of, if you're talking, say, in the Indian from the Indian actors, somebody like sort of like Hrithik Roshan or Tiger Shroff, you might have seen them in their new movie, which was War. That sort of a look, but maybe a little bit bigger, I would say, more on the bigger side of that, but something that's sort of pleasing to the eye.
Or like John Abraham.
You could say that. Yeah.
Okay. So you also mention on your website that you are an international fitness professional.
Correct.
So what does that encompass? Is it?
So that's basically a qualification that that I've basically achieved, and so it's basically a it covers a qualification all over the world. So basically we are termed as fitness professionals all over the world. So we're recognized all over the world.
So it's a body that gives you this certification, is it?
No, so that there, what you're referring to is what we call a pro card.
Okay.
And that's in each federation that you have and you compete, we get offered a pro card. And you could say that's kind of like making it in the elite level, and you're only able to compete with the elite of the sport. So it's very difficult to get that, and that's called a pro card. So I'm still hoping to one day achieve that. Mm-hmm. But the International Fitness Professional title, that's more from a qualification standpoint. Yeah,
you have got into this profession, or rather this particular activity of yours, more by choice.
Correct.
More by what you want. It's a passion that has become to you, and now it has become a full-time profession. What did you qualify at the university, or when, you know, your parents must have had a few dreams about you? What did you qualify as?
I actually qualified as an architect.
Okay.
So I did my master's degree in architecture.
Uh-huh.
And although I was very fond of it and very capable as an architect. Uh-huh. However, I got passionate about, you could say, bodybuilding and fitness. Uh-huh. It almost came about very organically. So I started off just trying to gain some weight because I just wanted to feel a bit more confident. And so I was
very
skinny.
Underweight, is it?
Yeah, I was very, very skinny. Uh-huh. I was very, 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 very underweight. And so I wanted to just gain some weight to just feel better about myself. Uh-huh. And so
did you have a girlfriend then?
I did, but it was just a personal thing that I wanted to feel a bit better, you know, in terms of my confidence. And so I just didn't really know what I was doing, and just joined a gym. And I remember a cousin of mine said, "Oh, if you want to gain some weight, just have some banana shakes."
Oh, okay.
And I had no clue what I was doing. I was just drinking banana shakes and eating as much as I could. And without even knowing what I was doing, I happened to obviously be eating, because I was eating more food, I got some growth out of it. And so that's how it all started from there. Because I saw a little bit of results, I kind of got hooked. And that consistency over time turned into a passion. Mm-hmm. And then that consistency over time turned into knowledge, because I started dwelling in the science of it all, of the anatomy and nutrition. And that kind of blew me away. And I was really got taken up by the science of it all. And from there, while I was still studying as an architect, I decided to also do a course in this during my holiday time. And so I did my diploma in this, and then I started coaching and training clients and competing as well at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to the other. And before, and when I came out of, when I finished my master's degree, I actually had a full set of clients. I had pretty much had a full business going. So at that point, I had to choose between the two industries. And of course, without a doubt, you know, this was definitely the one that kind of got me off bed early in the morning. And so it was a no-brainer to choose, you know, something I really loved and something I really enjoyed.
So you have not practiced your architecture from day one as yet?
I have done a few apprenticeships in Dubai.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for the council for a little while.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, no. As soon as I did the apprenticeship, came back, I kind of knew that this was, you know, what I wanted to do. And although I enjoyed architecture, the initial stages of being an architect, you don't get to design anything straight away, obviously, you know. So yeah, you're in the trenches of somebody else's work.
Every profession.
Absolutely, yeah.
Every profession.
So whereas here I was already kind of at the top of the game in the industry, and so, you know, it was a very 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 simple choice for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you saying that your passion led you into this profession, mm-hmm. and you're enjoying it thoroughly well as such.
Yeah.
What sort of activities that you do to maintain your physique and also to motivate your customers? What are the activities that you do? So as I see you, sorry listeners, you can't see Rex as such, but I can see a muscular man sitting here. Full of enthusiasm and on the go. So what does it take to build this physique? How do you go about it?
So basically it's when you're talking about a muscular physique, there's two aspects to it. And one is obviously not having as little body fat as possible. And I'm sure that's most people's goal. And the other, on the flip side, is having as much muscle mass as possible. Now, they're both very different things. You know, many people might think you can turn fat, you know, gain weight first and then turn fat into muscle. That's not possible, because muscle and fat, they're both very two different substances. And so what we're essentially trying to do is have food so strategically, or nutrients so strategically, that you're only building muscle, but at the same time trying to keep your body fat as low as
possible.
So it's actually quite a challenging thing for the body to do. You know, by nature, it doesn't do that very easily. And mm-hmm. so we have to manipulate things and manipulate nutrition in such a way that we can do that. And then our training is all about stimulating, you know, the muscle and tearing the tissue down, essentially. So when we're mm-hmm. in the gym, we're actually not growing. We're stimulating and tearing tissue down. We're actually breaking down the tissue. And then after the training, we try to rebuild through nutrition. We grow the muscle. And for fat loss, it's all about energy in, energy out. So we're trying to burn enough energy so that our body, you know, keeps that stored energy away from our mm-hmm. from our mm-hmm. You know, storages. Mm-hmm. So
you don't have fat in your body, you have more of muscles, as what you would call it.
Yeah.
You have less of energy stored, so
as
that it doesn't,
less stored energy, which is fat. Yeah.
So it's always consumed as you
Correct.
Go along as such. So this brings about a lot of adjustment in your diet and mm-hmm. in your lifestyle. How does your other members of the family cope with this?
It's just a matter of habit. So like you'll find that over time, most people start to, you know, start to follow you. They see you doing good things, you know, people start to follow you. But all in all, I never really pressurize anyone else to do anything. I just go about my needs and my what is necessary for me. And we're not sacrificing as such. So we definitely do get, you know, times out where we can eat out and eat.
Cheat days.
Yeah, absolutely. And so even our normal regular meals are actually quite fulfilling. So here's the other thing: when your body is lean, when you stay lean for a long period of time, you have a higher metabolic rate, so you can actually eat more. And so if you look at some of my food, we actually eat quite a lot. It's just that everything is more calculated. So it's more, we don't put anything that's disadvantageous to our body. So we're not putting anything in there that sort of stores fat. So we'll probably watch the amounts of oil that we have. We won't have no oil, but we'll watch the amounts that we have. We'll watch the amount of, you know, rice that we have. So we'll still have rice, but we'll watch the amounts. So we'll just control the environment going in. So everything going in is controlled, that's all. Whereas a normal person would just sort of eat to his or her heart's content mm-hmm. without knowing kind of, you know, how much is the required amount. And mm-hmm. therefore, often, they go above board.
So tell me, do you cook your own food, or does your wife cook it? Or does your wife say, this is what I've cooked, have it?
Bit of both. So she's very helpful, but I enjoy cooking myself. So I have no problem sort of, you know, taking over the cooking side of things if I need to. But she's a brilliant cook as well. So she's, you know, we both kind of take turns, uh-huh. And she kind of knows my what my needs are during a comp time. Mm-hmm. When there's no comp time, obviously there's more leeway, so things aren't as exact, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I'm during a comp time, or especially really close to the comp time, I like to take things in my hands so that I know exactly what's going in, just so that, you know, every day things change. Even mm-hmm. in the last week, things like the amount of salt, everything is adjusted day to day. So yeah. You know, you go from 3 grinds to 4 grinds, and everything
so
is
you
calculated.
Have a sheet or a place where you keep all this and record
exactly
and check,
we keep it all on a sheet for that last week, to just to manipulate the way our water sits in the body. Uh-huh. And so those things get a little technical, and so it's better if I do it so that there's no, you know, mm-hmm. chance of failure.
You know, when I send this comms out today to all our listeners,
yeah.
We got a bunch of listeners, and one of them came back to me. His name is Daryl Mendonca. Does that name ring a bell?
Daryl Mendonca. Daryl, he does ring a bell.
Yeah. He promptly said, well, I'm proud of this guy. And he told me also why he's proud of it. Do you remember him?
What's his age, roughly?
Well, Daryl is your dad's age.
Is he a guitarist?
Yes.
Yes, of course, he's the first person who taught me how to play the guitar.
So he says hello to you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and he's quite proud that you have taken a profession and a passion to a professional level.
Yeah,
and he says, great on him.
Oh, thanks, Daryl.
Say hi. You can say thanks and
Yeah, I've got a lot to thank him for. I mean, you know, I'm able to play the guitar at parties purely because of his teaching.
Okay, here's a song. Here's a song to you, Daryl.
मुझे खुश किया उन बॉस ने कोई दोस्त का कालीज है तुझा मौका लस ले नौ दो राम ची एक सा दोस्त कुछ को रन हंस ले तेतना हाँ स्वर्ग रासा अशे मगा जिस ले नस्तोला एक वेडिंग डांस हाथ तक दोरुन हाथ चितालो तुझा संगता सारों का की रात I love you मुटले तू है कनार के उपना मात Just forget me, moon on my tattoo, I can't look at Sanata jivit sartun titla sagle su ikut sutor maka somzona
आशीष मुझी मोगरे कळाची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची शेज मोजी मोगरे कळ्यांची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची ओढा पोन शेज मोजी मोगरे कळ्यांची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची सन्याचो शिपी चडो आयली रात पुनवेची आंगण मोजे गेले भरून फुल्ली फुला बोलेची सन्याचो शिपी चडो आयली रात पुनवेची आंगण मोजे गेले भरून फुल्ली फुला बोलेची विसांतूर जाऊन हावे कायली गीता प्रीतीची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची विसांतूर जाऊन हावे कायली गीता प्रीतीची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची ओढा पोनाशीस मोजी मोगरे कळ्यांची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची ओढा पोनाशीज मोजी मोगरे कळ्यांची याद तुझी येता मोगा अर्धे रातीची
तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगा दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम ऑकलंड असो 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम अवॉइड मुझे सांगत आज असा रेक्स ब्रगॅन्झ हू इज अ फिजिक ॲथलीट अँड ही ट्रेन्स पीपल फॉर कॉम्पिटिशन ही हिमसेल्फ रन्स अ बिझनेस ही इज द फाउंडर ऑफ रेक्स फिट बॉडी सो बिफोर वी ब्रोक ऑफ द म्युझिक वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट युअर डायट And we were talking about how important it is to have a good control over the diet so that you get the right type of outlook for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's the way you want to look or the way you want to compete. Now, you talked about calm time, you know, a term which you use, calm time.
Yeah.
Now, what's calm time? Competition time?
Correct. So it's basically the weeks leading up to the competition. So it's, okay. it's basically the weeks where we're trying to pull out the last few layers of remaining fat on our body. Uh-huh. So to kind of get to those last few stubborn areas is the most, you could say, we're kind of fighting against our body's wish. And so that's what I mean by comp time. But generally, you're looking at anywhere between 12 to 16 weeks out from a competition. That's when we get serious. So that's what I mean by a comp prep time. So yeah.
So what are the various competitions in this country for the type of
there's three main federations that are existing in New Zealand. There's the IFBB, which leads you to the Olympia, which is essentially the title that, you know, people such as Arnold Schwarzenegger and all held those titles. They're very prestigious titles. They still are today. It is the most, accredited title in the sport. So the IFBB is the federation that is runs that side of things. So you've got, and that's what I was talking about before, the bodybuilding, the classic physique, and the men's physique. Those are all subcategories of the IFBB. It is a brilliant federation. Outside of that, we have the WBFF, and that's the one that has been brought into New Zealand, and that's the one I just did. And what they're looking for here is not so much bodybuilding. They're looking for an overall model package. So it's more in line with being the best model in the country or in the world. So again, it's a worldwide federation, and the leading winner of it is titled the best, you could say, male model in the world. And they do sort of like although it is very heavily based on your body, so it's still, you could say, a cross between body, it is still has a lot of fashion sort of influence to it as well. So it's all about having that overall package. Not whereas with IFBB, it's about having each and every body part is judged, whereas here it's about a whole package. So you know, who has the best sort of model look, whereas here it's who's the best body part per body part, and then they scrutinize and judge each body part, and in the end the winner takes it all, you know. So that's how it goes with the IFBB. And then you've got natural federations as well, such as the INBA. Those are the ones that are considered, when I say natural, they're drug tested. Okay, so because a lot of the federations, such as, you know, the leading federations, they will not be drug tested. And reason for that is because there's a lot of big boys that that exist, and it's kind of like a you could almost say unspoken terms to kind of get there. You know, it's part of the sport. So including people like Arnold and all these sort of things, you know, they're all sort of part of the sport in that big level of boys.
So that so-called natural group.
Yeah. Yeah.
There would be lesser competition, or it is highly competitive, or it's...
No, you'd be surprised. It's highly competitive. You know, it's, some of these guys, it's just ridiculous how... Because it's all about your genetics, you know, end of the day. So there's some people just have superior genetics. And so even though these comps are sometimes not natural, they're still very, very, very competitive. Almost all of them are very competitive.
So you said this particular competition that you participated it just doesn't look at your physique, but it looks at the completeness of you as a competitor.
Yes.
So it looks at your physique, looks at your style, looks at your... You know, how you appear, whether you're photogenic or not, because that really sort of propels you to another level.
Yeah.
How do you go preparing for this? What are the things that you do? You go through cosmetic surgery and stuff like that?
No. So
to look much better, chip that nose off. And
I guess I'm sure there are people who probably do that, but it's really not something, because it's very obvious if somebody does things like that. And again, these competitions are based heavily on your body, not so much your looks per se. So it's all from your neck and below for the most part, and so that's something you have to mostly build. You can't just, you know, shove a cosmetic bicep in your arm. so it's very, very much judged on the body, and it's not, you know, definitely nothing to do with cosmetics. If there is anything to do with cosmetics, it's more on the female side. So with the female.
So you have a female competition?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very, very. I would say a very extremely competitive side, because there's a lot of females who compete as well. So, you know, often there could be adjustments there that people make. But that's in like any, you know.
Okay, so how do you get preparing for this competition? How many times a year is it held? Is it held twice a year or once a year, this particular competition? Or it's come after a long time?
Once a year. This is the first time it's coming into New Zealand. It's been around for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
All the big countries sort of...
Can you name it a bit?
It's called WBFF. So it's
WBFF.
World Beauty and Fitness and Fashion. That's what it stands for. And it's a very, very heavily funded federation. So they bring on a big show. Lights, camera, they have TV coverage. They have... You know, you name it. So it's a you know, red carpet.
So you won't find any pot-bellied guys like me standing there.
Maybe the cameraman.
Oh, okay. Or the radio jockeys who are covering the program as such. But let's get back to preparation. You participated in this particular competition. Yeah. You would have known about it and you would have prepared for it. So how did you start your preparation and where did you reach in the competition?
Yeah, so I ended up top five in the country, again, in New Zealand. And again, this particular competition is not limited to only athletes in New Zealand. It's basically around the world. So people come from Australia, Canada, all over the world to with the aim to try and turn pro wherever they can. So
this particular pro card.
Yeah, that's pro basically card, okay. you could say
so it's an elite club.
Yes, yeah, like an elite club. It's only the winner gets a card. So it's a very prestigious thing to do. You're trying to beat like hundreds of athletes just to be that one person. And so often you come so close, but you know you have to keep trying and correcting and perfecting until you kind of get there. And so it's a hard thing to get, but once you have it, it opens a lot of doors.
Oh, okay.
So leading into the comp, the way we do it is starting out, you'll just sort of clean things up. And what I mean by
so
that
how
is...
How many weeks before the competition?
Yeah, so when it comes to training is something that has to exist all the time. It's not, you know, it's like... It's not
so there'll
like,
be a peak period starting.
Yeah, it's not, the body is not like clay. I can't just pick it up and slap some clay and, carve it into my body. It has to sort of have, you have to have years of training behind you.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you can just do within a year. You have to be doing this for at least 5 to 6 years, if not more.
Yeah.
So you have to have years of accumulated muscle to first be on your frame.
Yeah.
From there, it's about sculpting it and to the point where it's very detailed and, you know, you're having those lines and those, shredded look or ripped look. And that's the look that I'm talking about where we start 16 to 12 weeks. So we're trying to strip the body fat. But the muscle mass...
So that's the sculpting part.
The muscle mass is from years and years of accumulated training and years of accumulated, I would say, consistency with eating and training. So, but when you're trying to build muscle, you know, a little bit of body fat's fine because the goal is to build a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to sculpting, it's a different story. So now we're trying to, you know, play with saving and preserving as much muscle on our body while stripping out the energy from, you know, the stored fats, which is a tricky thing to do. And so,
that's where the diet comes.
That's where it switches. It sort of changes. So from you're from eating a lot of food and getting sort of more, you could say, naughtier meals, you know, everything gets a little bit more strict. So in saying that, it's not all that hard. It's all kind of, the hard part comes more in the last three to two weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's really sort of, you know, everything is sort of, you're limited to very, very, very low carbohydrates and a very, very low overall food intake.
So if the fat is stubborn and refuses to come off, then... do you all use some extraneous materials or substances to sort of get rid of it?
There are, you know, at different levels, there certainly are supplements that do come into play. Okay,
yeah.
So there are things such as that exist in our body. If you give, for example, L-carnitine, which is an amino acid that exists in our body, and if you give it more of it, your body can sort of, promotes more fat loss. Okay, similar thing with, you could say, green tea. It has an enzyme called EGCG, epicalicaltagatic. What that does is it basically promotes and boosts the metabolism. So it basically fires up the engine. And so you burn more body fat than you would in the same time, you know, those sort of things. And of course, there's other more advanced sort of fat burners out there that people do use. But when it comes to shredding fat, the truth is that anyone can get as shredded as possible if they know how to play with the energy food. So it's all about eating a little bit less than your body energy requires. That's the main thing. So no substance can actually, there's no magic pill out there. There's no substance that can outplay that. So you can take any substance, you can take any serious steroid or whatever you want to call it, there's no way. There is no chance that people can burn fat if they don't have the energy consumption right. So if people don't eat the right amount of food, it doesn't matter what they're taking, they'll still hold the fat.
Okay.
So often people think that, you know, if they take something, they'll lose the body fat. No, it's all a play of food. It's all a play of energy in, energy out. And that's the main key thing.
In this competition, you said you topped in the top five.
Correct.
So you stood in the top five.
Yeah.
Yes. Who were the other competitors? Were they from New Zealand or were they from outside New Zealand? And what differentiated them from you?
So there were many different, from as I said, from different countries that people came. The guy who won, his name was Tyron Bell, extremely amazing athlete. He is actually the celebrity. He's a celebrity trainer, and he trained the cast of the Spartacus. So, you know, very high caliber.
So he must be already in that pro card.
He just got his pro card.
Oh, okay.
So after trying for 3 years in a row, he got it finally. So, but, you know, as I said, the fact that he's already a celebrity trainer, already somebody who's the Spartacus lead trainer for all the casts, and that's the guy who won it. So, you know, it's a very high level of competition. But, yeah, there's heaps of different amazing athletes out there, and all of them come in very, very lean, very, very prepared. It's not an amateur level. It's a very, very elite level of competition. As I said, the person who wins it, they turn pro. So it's a big deal. Yeah.
So for you, has that competition made a difference in terms of clientele, in terms of people calling up and say, "Hey, Rex, I saw you at that competition. You stood in the top five. Would you be interested in doing some work for us?"
Yes, so definitely. I mean, from a clientele point of view, I've always kind of been had that, so that's never really been an issue. But definitely gets you out there more. Where it does get you more out there is with the famous people in the industry, you could say. You know, being having a sort of well-known relationship with them, which is a really good thing, because they're the people who sort of control the industry. So opening up those doors and having those conversations with these big people from the industry is definitely an advantage to have. Yeah.
Tumi Aikata Sushega Danpar Konkani Radio Program 104.6 Planet FM Away. Mujasangata Zasa Rex Braganza, who is a fitness trainer who trains you to sculpt your bodies and be more competitive in the marketplace, particularly in the what I would say is the fashion industry. This song goes out to Kevin and Nita, who are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, Kevin and Nita. Have a wonderful day. So will
Sogle sale torga, moja dolar poigol gut. सेडो गाम सुटलो आगा कोई पासा ना लाग दोरो तागा बाहर आले मारगा उच दोरो रासले आउएर पावलो सरगा सेलिना तू काजा से तालो सेलिना मोगान बुस्को तालो
नमस्कार तुम्ही ऐकत आहात सुशेगा दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.6 FM आवे मुझे संगत आज असा रेक्स ब्रगेन्सर ही इज अ फिटनेस ट्रेनर सो रेक्स वी स्टॉप्ड एट वेयर कॉम्पिटिशन्स पार्टिसिपेटिंग इन कॉम्पिटिशन्स कैन टेक यू एंड वेयर इट कैन प्रोपेल यू पर्टिक्युलरली योर एस्पिरेशन टू बिकम अ प्रो कार्ड होल्डर So then you are recognized the world over and you can do many, many things just apart from bodybuilding. Coming to your business, so to keep you fit and to keep you in that frame of competitive mind, you run your own business and share your knowledge and experiences of how you can build your body. Tell us something about it.
Yeah, so basically the business I run is... Is both personal training and nutrition put together, and so basically it's a transformation a business. So for people to come, they basically start. What we do is we take their body composition tests. We see where their body fats sit. We see what their health readings are. So you know, overall health checks and things like that. And I even have doctors who sort of work. In coercion with me, so often if I need blood work done, I can get them to go and check their blood tests, see if all the cholesterol readings and all the, you know, thyroid readings and all those things are in place, and then we put a diet plan for them in place, which is you know, tailored to them and their needs and their body's requirements, and then we also put a training program in place which is suitable to their lifestyle. So, for example, if somebody can only train at home, we try to fit in a home workout for them. We obviously do encourage people to try get outside the house if they can and get into a gym where there's more resistance through weights. And say if somebody can only do that twice a week, we try to make a two-day plan. If they can do more, which is better, then we make, you know, a four-day or a five-day plan. But we try to sort of fit around the client's needs. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it's all about energy intake, right? So we calculate the energy consumption, we calculate the energy output, and we can literally make a plan and outset a date of where they can hit that goal. So essentially, fat loss is very much a calculated thing, and we can measure it all up. And so we measure all the requirements for them and make it really simple for them to follow so that they don't have to do all the, you know, the nitty-gritty calculations.
So what is one element in the diet that you try to dissuade people from having so that it sort of dovetails into your entire program for that person? One element which may be common to everybody, may not be common, but one particular element or
that,
a couple that I
want them to do?
Yeah, one particular element that you may say, sorry, buddy, you may have to sort of discard this out of your diet because that's not really going to help you.
Honestly, nothing.
Nothing, okay.
The one thing I do tell them is to portion and bring out tools. So what I encourage is weighing things out.
So all this talk that is going, you know, and I've been recently caught in a huge web mm-hmm. of diet discussions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk going about gluten diet, sugar-free diet, yeah. You know, vegan free diet. Of carb, vegan,
yeah,
and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it becomes quite a menacing exercise yeah. in a family
yeah.
if the mother is cooking or the father is also cooking, and it becomes quite menacing.
Yeah.
So you are saying that for your type of athleticism,
mm-hmm.
You don't require any botheration about, but you need to sort of moderate it.
Obviously, there are things that your body needs at a base level. So your body, certainly needs what we call a certain amount of micronutrients, which is, these are the vitamins and the minerals it needs. And then it needs a certain amount of what we call macronutrients. These are your protein, carbohydrates, and fats, your healthy fats that your body requires. So these are, you know, your body is made up of those things. You require a certain amount of that. Now, how you get it in doesn't actually matter. Now, there are some foods that will make you go above board easily, and there's some foods that help you sort of stay within the calories more easily. Now, to say that one is better than the other is honestly a false thing that people do. So people start demonizing food, and they say, okay, you know, white bread is bad, you know, and they'll say, oh, something like oats is good.
You know? So like my friend Keith says, all food is good.
Yes. All food is good.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at let's just say a one white bread, okay, it'll have 15 grams of carbohydrates. If you look at a cup of oats, it has 63 grams of carbohydrates, one whole cup of oats. So if you were eating it in those amounts, technically the one white bread is better because it has less carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. But people don't know these things, and so they just sort of say, oh, I'm not having mm-hmm. bread anymore because it's bad for me, they assume. And they say, I'm having oats, and then they have too much of oats, and it can be a bad thing. Now, sure, the oats might have more, you know, slower digesting properties, but you can get that from other ways. Like if you add more vegetables and more fibers to your everyday meals, you're getting the fiber requirement that you need. Mm-hmm. So that slower digesting aspect of it can be taken care of through other means. So it's, you know, there's a lot of different ways of achieving, you know, health. And the main thing I would say is portion control. That is the key element. You can have ice cream for all I care, as long as, in fact, a lot of my clients do. Okay. I have ice cream in their nights end with ice cream, but it's calculated amounts. And it basically does. It doesn't mean that's the only thing they're eating all day. So they have a variety. Say 80% of their food throughout the day is very good, nutritious food, and 20% it might be things that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be. You know, it should be things in balance, not the other way around, where we don't sort of think of our food.
So you'd say that even if people who have got a health issue, they are mm-hmm. diabetic, or if they have got cholesterol or some other type mm-hmm. of medical condition. Mm-hmm. They are welcome to join your gym, and you would say that, hey, go ahead and have all that you want?
So I definitely don't say have all that you want. I say, because as I said, it's controlled portions.
Portions.
Controlled amounts. So it's and we're working with things that they like, so that they stick to the plan. If you give somebody something they don't like, the chance of following it is very, very low. And you know, you want to work with things that they like within the correct portions. End of the day, it's all about the portion, because that's the thing that gets you to the end result. Now, sure, there are differences. For example, somebody who is diabetic, we might have to look into things differently, mm-hmm. okay, and adjust things differently. And often that's a play on exercise and higher fiber intake and things like that. So as long as we are able to bring that into the diet, you know, the results will come. So again, there's no
generic fit.
Yeah, no way. There's definitely no one size fits all sort of a plan.
So there's no generic fit. So every person so all this talk about, you know, I follow a keto diet and mm-hmm. I follow some other diet and
those are also the keto diet or the intermittent fasting, which, by the way, from all of them, the intermittent fasting one is probably the only one I kind of think is awesome. You know, all of them are good. They all have their benefits, and they might suit one person more than another, but in the end of the day, that total caloric amount still matters. So you could be on a keto diet, or you could be on an intermittent fasting diet, you could be on a vegan diet, or whatever diet that you're on. If your amounts are wrong, you're going to still be in trouble.
So
it's all about, as I said, those portion size.
So on that note, Rex, can you tell our listeners where your facilities are mm-hmm. and how they can contact you, how quickly they can contact you, or if they want to sort of pursue the same goals some of the young guys have?
So basically, right now, I'm currently in Auckland. I'm based in 8 Carr Road, which you'll see my sign out there, which is Rex Fit Personal Training. So that's in Mount Roscoe. Right now, you can contact me via email, rexfitbody@gmail.com. I do have a website coming out soon in a couple of weeks, actually, where you'll have a lot of my ebooks being released, so you'll have things in ebook format so people can actually follow all the step-by-step guides for them to whether they want to build muscle or whether they want to build lose body fat. So it's all on there on my website, which will be rexfitbody.com.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot, Rex, for making time to be on the radio today with us and sharing your own experiences and your achievements. On that note, I would say adios to our listeners till we catch and perform once again next week.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Ya sobi sansara tle tu sulgo kya bagin tle kadun malun ku chintle kitlo sudit ho sansar mera tu tu so sana udi subit ho sansa mera tu tu jo sada tu dil ka